you know, we just sort of, we're real. You know, things happen the way they are supposed to happen. I don't hear any excitement on your end.
What do you want me to do? To cartwheel?
Whee! Yeah. So we can wake up everybody. Anyhow, but listen, not if it's not real, not if it's not genuine. That's fine. Maybe it's a terrible thing, but when any in any case, let's just start it officially.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got tunes and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today you know on KSCO Radio.
Good morning, welcome to hour number one of the Saturday special. It's MZ, all excited about all the neat things that are going to be happening here in the coming weeks and months. Geez, we got, you know, we've had a new website for a while, but now it's even a newer new website that's being run by a local brilliant guy, and we'll probably get into that a little bit later today. So stay tuned. You never know what's going to happen.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
That music generally signifies that something special is coming up. And something special is coming up. We're going to do things a little differently. May I ask you a personal question about me, Nikki? May I ask you?
About you?
About me.
We'll see if I'm going to answer it.
Do I have a big ego?
Do you have a big ego?
Yeah.
Why do you tend to ask me these kind of questions?
I just want to see.
You just want to see what I'm going to say? Do you want me to say something really, really crazy?
I want you to tell me the truth. That's all. Do I have a big ego?
Do you have a big ego?
Right.
I don't think I am qualified to make a decision like that because I only know you at the radio station.
Well, but you hear on the radio. You hear how I behave on the radio. What you see is what you get. I mean, I'm no different off the radio than I am on the radio.
I think the majority of talk show radio hosts have a heightened ego, including me. You have to.
I've never been so insulted.
Well, you have to.
I've never been so insulted in my life.
I'll bring you a Kleenex.
Okay. Now, the reason I ask that is because, I've said this before. I'm one of these. Everybody's writing books, and it's becoming easier and easier to write a book. I mean, to get a book published.
Are you writing one?
No, but I'm getting ready to. What would I write a book about? What am I an expert on?
I think that would be writing a book sounds really interesting,
yeah,
and
but
difficult.
But what am I an expert on? I've always been fascinated by egos and how people are driven. I don't think there's a greater power in the world than the power of ego.
In many ways.
Yeah. I mean,
many ways.
Just about everything that people do and say and how they act is driven by ego.
Or lack thereof.
I am so excited. We do Kay's commentaries all the time. We generally world premiere them or debut them here on the Saturday special at the beginning of hour number two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I learned this morning that I am mentioned a number of times in the current Kay's commentary.
Ooh. Does that make your ego go up?
It is inflated so much that I doubt that I'm going to be able to get out of the building.
Oh, your head's going to blow up?
At the end of the program.
Okay.
But just to give it a chance to deflate, I figured it would be sick. Because I got to be somewhere. I got to be up in the Bay Area later today.
Right. Okay? So you need to be able to get in your car.
So I want it to be able to deflate a little bit. So I figure rather than wait and play it at 11 o'clock, beginning of the hour, Let's play it now, okay?
Okay,
so give me some time to deflate.
Okay.
Give the ego a little bit of time to deflate. So have we started the program? I forgot.
Yeah,
we did. Fanfare. Okay, good. let's have Billy Big Voice. Come on now.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
Let's take a rest from daily stressful occurrences and bad world news and just reminisce about the happier, simple past. After a while, one realizes that everything in life is timing. Case in point, my two lifelong teen girlfriends and I planned to go to a party one Saturday night in 1936. I decided not to go and told them to go without me. I was worrying then a lot about my dad's failing health. But they coaxed me to go, and I did. That party shaped my life. I met the young man, fleetingly, who was to become my husband, the father of my three children, and the love of my life for 58 years plus 4 years of courting. Sure, we bickered now and then. If I had stayed home that Saturday night, we never would have met, and what a loss that would have been for us. And Louis, Regina, and MZ never would have happened. Clearly, important life moments happen in unplanned times. Also, during World War II, my husband Barry served in the Navy. Right after our country conquered Germany, his group was ordered to San Francisco for several days in 1945 while en route to Japan. And as luck would have it, VJ Day happened then, so this Navy contingent was not sent to Japan after all. See the unplanned good timing? My husband and his group remained in San Francisco for 1 year until they were released from the Navy, during which time he discovered how beautiful California was and decided we should try to live here. That was a good thought. We didn't want to remain in New York, and the timing made California an option. If you have a moment to think, you will discover that some inconsequential incidences may have shaped your whole life also. Think about it. Another prophetic incident. After our little family of four, MZ had not yet entered this world. On Labor Day, 1947, we arrived in Santa Cruz from New York. That happened to be the day that KSEO came on the air for the first time. Little did we know then how important it would become in our lives. When we arrived in Santa Cruz in September 1947, Barry planned to meet a certain retiring optometrist who wrote to us several times in Brooklyn about how wonderful life was in Santa Cruz, then population 12,500. He said he went fishing several times a week and convinced us to come and look at his practice, which he wanted to sell. The morning after we arrived, Barry visited with the retiring optometrist for several hours and became convinced that we should stay here in Santa Cruz and purchase his practice. In retrospect, it was a wonderful move and a great place to raise our family. MZ joined us in 1951, and we were all thrilled with his arrival. At that time, the early 50s, we had intercoms, and I woke the children every morning with KGO, that big San Francisco station that initiated the new format of interactive news talk in the late 50s. The rest is history. In his teens, MZ would go to San Francisco often on a bus for an afternoon just to watch the celebrity enter and leave the KGO building. As a teenager also, he hosted a weekly high school program on KSCO until he was fired by the boss, Mr. Berlin, for making a fart noise with his mouth on the air. Decades later, when we purchased KSCO, Mr. Berlin, the original engineer owner, and MZ became very good friends. Wouldn't this be a good script for a movie? This waxing sentimental must end for the time being. Thanks for listening. And yes, you must agree that unplanned timing often changes the direction of our lives in an unusual or exciting way. For KSCO, this is Kay's Whirling.
Wow. Wow. They're all good, but that was something really, really special. I don't know. It's sure it's the little ego I was mentioned a couple times, but it was how true that commentary is. It really, really is. If you think about it, as my mom suggested that you all think about how your lives have been moved or changed or influenced by certain events that made you turn corners or take different directions and so forth. It's a fascinating way to reflect. Anyhow, it's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, the Saturday special, hour number one. It's an open mic type program. There are a couple of topics that I have in mind that I will keep secret, but will probably crop up during the program at some point or other. But in the meantime, it's an opportunity for you to call and spout off on anything that you want to say. You can talk about the news. You can ask some questions. I'm particularly excited about some events that we have coming up, first of which is pharmacist Ben Fuchs, whom most of you who have listened to KSCO for a long time have know that he has been the guest host for on and off more than a dozen years of the Dead Docs show, and very few people know more about health and nutrition than pharmacist Ben Fuchs. He's on an order with Doc Wallach himself, and he is going to be coming to the area to do two lectures on June 3rd and June 4th. June 3rd will be in Salinas. And it's a charter school over there. A best way to make a free reservation is to call the readers at Compliments of Salinas at 422-3400. And the following evening at Seacliff Inn here in Aptos on this side of the bay, from 7 p.m. both nights, pharmacist Ben will be there live and in person, and there has never been. I have watched so many lectures from pharmacist Ben. I have never observed a lecture that he has presented that did not result in a standing ovation. Just the most inspiring speaker, and you're just glued to every word. He's so active and involved and fast, quick-witted, and so forth. And so I highly recommend that everybody who is listening to this broadcast get a reservation. If everybody who is listening gets a reservation to the free lectures, either one in Salinas or in Aptos, I think it's gonna overflow the building if everybody gets. But I still want everybody to, because as of right now we do have a good amount of capacity in both lecture halls. So. What did I do this week that was particularly interesting? Well, I visited the Santa Cruz Certified Farmers Market in downtown Santa Cruz, which is one of my favorite places to go on Wednesdays. It's just really a cool place with a lot of alternative people and a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables, and it's very colorful. And it has been expanded recently to take up an extra parking lot. I think the actual real estate has been doubled. So I don't know how many of you have ever gone to that particular farmer's market. There are quite a number of them in other parts of the county of Santa Cruz and in Monterey County, as I understand it. But I've gone to the Santa Cruz downtown one for years on Wednesday from, I think, 2:30 to 6:30, if I'm not mistaken. And I guess it's been so successful that it has been expanded. And when I was down there, it occurred to me that it would be a great place for KSCO to originate its programming that afternoon. So we've got the What's Left program from 2 to 4 p.m. And why not? Wouldn't it be a great place to do a remote broadcast from? And maybe even Charlie could do his program from 4 to 7 from there, and Dave would have to be here at the radio station. But I think that's a great idea, don't you? What a great way for the radio station to become more involved with the community. In any case, 479-1080, if you want to give us a call, it will connect you to the Saturday special. As I said, it's an open mic, and I do have there's a particular interesting topic that we started to touch on two or three weeks back about real estate values and what's happening to real estate values. But what we didn't talk about back then is what happens to the tax base of a county when the real estate values plunge, okay? Because all of a sudden, the values aren't there, and the tax bills aren't what they're going to be. And a lot of people can't even pay their tax bills. But even the ones who can pay their tax bills are, their properties aren't worth as much. So why should they pay based upon the value from 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 years ago when the values have dropped significantly? And what kind of an impact does that have? There, I've given you a clue about what we are going to be talking about here in just a little bit. So, but let's do a commercial break right now, and we'll do the first commercial break here of the Saturday special program, and then I will ask Nikki to get our probable guest on the line who can answer some serious questions about property values. And he ought to know because he is a county assessor. And so you're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. You can call us at 479-1080 in area 831, or you can email mz@ksco.com and get on the air. So take it away, Nikki. We will be back. Hello?
Don't put off till next year what you can create today. With great deer season deals going on right now, you don't have to wait another day to get your project started with John Deere. Unbeatable financing options and savings up to $400 off make today the day for you to own a new John Deere. Great deals on versatile select series tractors, efficient easy track mowers, powerful compact utility tractors, and unstoppable Gator utility vehicles, as well as amazing savings on dozens of incredibly versatile attachments, mean John Deere has the value you want on the tools you need to take your vision from your head to your land today. John Deere has the great deals to get you started. The only question is, what will you create? For details on savings and financing options, see Pringle Tractor, your local John Deere dealer this deer season. Pringle Tractor in Watsonville and Salinas, or online at PringleTractor.com.
Is calling a plumber too expensive? Why don't you call me, Zoltan, at Egger International at 831-425-4512. You get professional work at handyman prices, fixing any plumbing fixtures, replacing water heaters, electrical repairs and installations, tiles, decks, doors, windows. I can also show you my own patented bidet system or dental jet. Prices starts at $45 an hour. Please call me, Zoltan, at 425-4512. 425-4512. Or go to EggerInternational.com. EGERInternational.com.
You might not be able to say it very easily. Apiary, that's what she said to me. Let me just tell you something about the rest. If you're into bees and beeswax, then you're into Pacific Crest.
Here's a sweet tip. Find the lowest prices on the best local honey, pure beeswax candles, and awesome gifts for any occasion at Pacific Crest Apiary's Honey Farm and Gift Store. Hi, I'm Dana Mum. Ed and I invite you up to the farm for a taste of sweetness and a great family adventure. We're just a stone's throw from Aptos and are open most days, but sometimes take a day off. So best check in at 688-0508 or log on to PacificCrestApiaries.com. Buzz up and be happy.
A proud member of Think Local First.
Wax back for me. Pacific Crest.
Pacific Crest.
Apiary.
Oh, how sweet.
Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty together again. So they did the smart thing and took Humpty to the McCollum Wellness Center in Santa Cruz.
Hello, I'm Dr. Duncan McCollum, chiropractor and director of the McCollum Wellness Center. If you've had a recent accident or injury, have a chronic pain or illness, or just want to feel better, you can find help at the McCollum Wellness Center in Santa Cruz. At McCollum Wellness, we specialize in the proven pain relief techniques that can put all of your pieces together so you feel whole and healthy again.
Feel whole and healthy again. Call McCollum Wellness Center in Santa Cruz and ask for the free, no-obligation Humpty Dumpty consultation. That's McCollum Wellness Center, 459-9990, 459-9990, or McCollumWellnessCenter.com. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall.
Find the strength, security, and peace you're looking for in the science of prayer. This is not a dream. It's a provable and practical reality. Start by attending a free lecture entitled The Permanence of Good by international speaker Suzanne Rydell of Denver, Colorado. A practitioner and teacher of Christian Science Healing, Ms. Rydell will present her free talk with a question and answer session on Monday, May 24th at 7:30 p.m. at the Rio Theater, 1209 Soquel in Santa Cruz. This lecture is sponsored by the First Church of Christ Scientists Soquel. For more information, call 475-6177.
If you're a real estate agent or broker, then you know to thrive in this market, you have to be ready to adapt. The real estate auction business is booming. While many large national chains are closing offices and downsizing, we are in a period of exponential growth. We run ethical, buyer-friendly auctions using our proven marketing system. We also have a generous revenue sharing program that can easily earn you more money than even most top producers can earn in commissions if you work the plan. We will teach you how it's possible to pick up 2 to 4 listings in a good day and have them sold in 7 to 10 days, netting far more per transaction than traditional real estate sales. You can hang your license with us, or if you run a small brokerage, you can affiliate with our auction team by co-brokering listings. We are having an orientation meeting at KSCO Radio every Tuesday starting May 11th, running through the end of August from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Please call to reserve a spot at 429-2200. That's 429-2200.
You mean we're back? Okay, no bumper music. That's fine. That's fine. I can live with it. Hey, we got a real special guest today. Gus Kramer. Want to introduce Gus, who is the county assessor of the county of Contra Costa. Am I right, Gus?
That's right. Thank you, Michael.
Hey, good. Yeah, welcome to KSCO. It's interesting. I have a getaway up in Contra Costa County in the Bay Area, and Gus and I became acquainted telephonically. I haven't met the gentleman, but I was very impressed because very few county officials are as accessible as Gus proved to be to me, and he didn't know. I'm just a guy, and so I wanted to call. I called you originally when I was given your phone number by your office to talk about the reassessment of properties that property values. And normally this is something that we would do with our own county assessor, but you were so accessible to me that I just decided that I would ask you if you would come on the radio and tell us about things like Proposition 13, what exactly it means. I thought I knew what it meant, but when I got my tax bill that was close to about 2% of the appraised value of the property, I started thinking, wait a minute, thinking back to when, for as long as I can remember, Prop 13, I thought, was limited to 1%, where the property taxes were limited to 1% of the appraised value. And the appraised value, starting in 1978 when Prop 13 was passed, became defined as the purchase price of the property. Have I said anything that's incorrect, Gus?
Yes, you have, actually.
The very last sentence,
actually, you need to define it. It's not the purchase price. It's the market value of the property. But many times, the purchase price is not relative to the market value, because someone gets a special deal because of the divorce or a foreclosure in a normal market, and people were getting really good deals. And Prop 13 does say market value rather than purchase price. And that's the one.
Okay, yeah, I remember that now that you're right. Reminding me of that. And so I guess market value is a term that typically means the purchase price in an arm's length transaction.
Right. The way the assessor's office looks at it is if the purchase price is within 5% of what we think it is, I'm not going to go into the rules, but if it's within 5%, we enroll the value of the purchase price. But for your listening audience's benefit, you are a assessor's worst nightmare, personally. I just want you to know that.
Who?
You.
Me personally?
Yeah, yeah. You're one of those guys who just calls us and just wears us down.
oh, sorry. Okay, well, look. It seemed to me there was an ad that you probably heard for an auction that gave me the idea to, hey, this auction, real estate auctions, are getting more and more popular these days. And this gentleman who you hear advertising on KSCO, I got an idea from him to do an auction on my property up there. And I was quite disappointed with what the high bid came in at. I mean, I think I got a pretty okay deal when I bought the property 8 years ago.
Well, okay. the properties have just plummeted. In Santa Cruz County, actually, the values have not fallen as much as they have in the Bay Area, mostly because in the Bay Area, we've had this unbridled development that has just driven the values right through the roof. But now that there's no demand, it's economics 101.
I gotcha. Yeah, that makes the sense in the world,
because
Gus.
There's too much product there. The values have fallen way off.
So. Santa Cruz has always been a very, very, well, not always, but probably since the mid 70s.
Right.
When the political activism that was anti-development really got going in a big way,
that political activism has paid off for every homeowner and property owner, because it's helped you maintain or sustain some higher values.
Isn't that interesting? Interesting?
I know it's an ironic thing, because the developers, supplying affordable housing in the Bay Area. It just got too affordable and it collapsed. It was a house of cards, as they say on CNBC. And the house of cards collapsed, and now we're all paying for it. Even those people who have owned their house since the 1970s have taken, 50, 60, 70% loss from their equity in their homes. It's just terrible.
How can that be? I mean, we're talking about, didn't Prop 13 roll back assessments to 1975 values?
It did.
And you're telling me that there are some values are less than 1975?
There actually are some homes that have gone back just about to that rate. I'm sitting in a neighborhood right now in Brentwood in East Contra Costa County. These homes, I'm sitting in front of my buddy's house. We're going out putting up signs. This house sold for $995,000 in 1995. He bought it after it was foreclosed on. He bought it for $535,000, and it's a five-bedroom, four-bath, three-car garage on a 10,000 square foot lot overlooking a golf course. I'm not kidding you. It's a beautiful home. And today, you can buy the same house next door for $4.25 million.
How long ago did your buddy have purchased the home?
Just last year.
So in a year, it's dropped another 20% or so.
It's dropped 20% in 1 year. And he's begging me to buy one of the houses because he's worried some investor's going to buy it and put a bunch of Section 8s in it.
Wow.
And ruin his neighborhood. So it's really an interesting phenomenon right now. Housing in the Bay Area has never been affordable. And I would think, and as assessors go, we all live by the same rules put out by the State Board of Equalization. Some assessors have been very proactive in lowering property values to without making people ask. And some counties, some assessors don't lower the value unless you ask. Uh-huh. So depends where you live. You've got to contact your county assessor's office, call their public service number, and find out what their idiosyncrasies are for their county. The laws are all the same.
Uh-huh.
The methods are all the same. It's just a matter of how they actually do the process.
Well, how do you do it in Contra Costa County? Because I own two pieces of property, and
sure.
One was I requested and received, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 years ago, an adjustment downward.
Right.
And then a year or two after that, without asking, I received an adjustment downward for the other property. And I said, this is interesting.
Mike, what usually happens is in the neighborhoods where there's subdivisions, where there's maybe five or six different floor plans, it's pretty cookie cutter. It's really easy for the appraisers to go through there and say, okay, we know all these homes are down 40%, 30%, and do what they call a mass appraisal. It doesn't mean they do them all the same. They go through it. It just makes it easier. But in the areas like your home where it's a custom home, the custom homes are the bane of our existence. They're really hard, to do the appraisals because they're all so unique. So they take more time and much more labor-intensive to do the appraisals, but we do get them done. But usually, as a rule, if you live in a subdivision, you're probably going to get an automatic reduction. If you live in a custom home or semi-custom home, you're probably going to have to make a request to the assessor.
Right. Okay, and once you make a request and your request is granted or something, is some adjustment is made, maybe not exactly what you ask for, what happens then? Do you get stuck in some sort of a special category where you're not allowed, where you're no longer qualified if the market drops some more, that you're not, you can't ask for another one?
No, I hate to say this, but it all depends on the appraiser work in the particular area. You know, sometimes these guys get it and they just rock and roll right ahead, and other guys will, you know, be real persnickety about every little detail. And again, it gets down to the individual and the individual property. I hate to say that, but
I was amazed, you know, we haven't, this is the longest we've talked ever here, you know, right now.
Uh-huh.
But in two other much more abbreviated conversations, I was amazed that you were willing to even discuss the possibility. I didn't like what I was told by one of your appraisers.
Right.
And when I mentioned that to you, you said that doesn't sound right either. And so I'm gonna look into this. Send me the information. And I sent you the information. And
right.
And I was very impressed that you did. And I said to myself, this is highly unusual. I mean, I appreciate that you're willing to do that, but I wouldn't hold my breath that anything is, if something came out of it, which I think definitely should, because there's no question that the property that I'm talking about is not worth anywhere near what I'm paying for it in property taxes at the moment.
Right.
So it blew me away that you were talking as if there's a chance that there would be a that this assessor person who works for you might be overridden by the boss himself.
Well, it happens
because I wouldn't expect that, because your job is to bring in as much money for your county as possible.
Actually, I'll take exception to that. That's not my job. I appreciate you saying it, but it's really not. The Board of Supervisors thinks it should be, but I've told them over and over, and I've said it publicly, I'm not their revenue agent. I am the assessor, and everybody gets treated fairly. If values go up, they go up under the law. If they come down, they come down under Prop 8. But if the Board of Supervisors wants me to be their economic development director, they have to pay me a hell of a lot more and speak to me much more kindly. But that being said...
Whoa!
I'm serious.
Actually, they can't fire you, huh, because you were elected.
No, that's why none of them are... that's why only one of them is endorsing me in this upcoming June 8th
election. Oh, my God!
They want me to go out there. It's hysterical. I get them 1 minute in closed session saying, oh, you got to raise taxes and get us more money. I'm looking at them like a doe in the headlights of a car going, I don't think so. I'm not doing that for you. Then the next thing I get a call from one of the staffers saying, the supervisor has a friend who has a tax problem and needs you to look at it. You know, like I'm supposed to lower the tax for him because they're a supervisor's friend. I'm going, I don't think so.
Wow, that is so funny.
But that's politics. You get that in D.C., you get it in Sacramento, and you get the local government. I don't care.
So how long have you been assessor there in Contra Costa County?
I've been the assessor for 15 years, actually.
Uh-huh. Did you work for the assessor's office before then? Or?
No, I did not. I worked for 15 years for Public Works as a real estate officer for the county, and for 6 years before that, I was a deputy coroner for the sheriff coroner's office, so death and taxes has always been my game. So what can I say?
Wow. Yeah, and so what made you decide to run for assessor?
Actually, I had a friend of mine who had worked in the assessor's office, and she was wanting to run, and then she and her husband decided to move to Calaveras County.
Uh-huh.
So I said, you know, what are you doing that for, and you're leaving me in the lurch? She says, well, you run, and she kind of dared me, so I ran and I won. So what kind of thing?
Isn't that so? How long is the term of office?
The terms are 4 years, just like the sheriff.
This is your fifth term that you're running for now? Because I assume the signs that you were talking about, your buddy and you were planting signs, they must be re-election signs.
Yeah, re-elect Gus Kramer, we love you, thank you very much, vote for me, that type of stuff, you know.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
are you opposed or unopposed at the moment?
Yes, I have three people running against me. I have three local unemployed realtors that are looking for work, so they decided to run for assessor.
Wow. I mean, so you mentioned Prop 8. What is Prop 8?
Prop 8 is what allows the assessor. See, when Prop 13 passed in 78, there was no provision for lowering people's property taxes. And I don't care if you're, it's a very short document, and there was no provision. And right after Prop 13 passed, there was a huge recession in Southern California. It didn't affect us up here in Northern California, but Southern California property values dropped 40 to 50% because the aerospace industry left for Texas.
Yes.
So that being said, Jarvis and Gann quickly put together Prop 8, which was on the November ballot of 1978, which allows assessors to temporarily lower values in a downturn economy like we have now.
Oh, okay. So temporarily, so you can do. And how temporary is it? I mean, just
well,
as temporary.
It's January to January. All values in the assessor's office are January 1st. That's our magic day. I mean, in tax business, it's April 15th. For assessors, it's January 1st. That's the date we look at values. And say your property was worth $800,000. You bought it for $800,000. The next year, there's a huge recession. We lowered the value to $600,000. You lower the value to $600,000, and that's for that year only. The following year, the value may pop back up to $700,000. That following January, we'd lower raises back to
depending upon what your staff decides.
That's right, exactly. And you know, we get arguments from property owners. They take us to the task on sometimes, and we try and meet them halfway. But we can never raise the value back up to higher than it would have been under Prop 13.
And under Prop 13, it's allowed to go up 1% per year.
2%
a year.
2% a year.
The actual, now the reason that my property tax bill is closer to 2% than 1% is because some of these things are called assessments, not taxes. Is that the reason?
Right. No, you see, under Prop 13, your property is assessed at 1% of the, you know, the market value.
Yeah.
Plus bonded indebtedness. So where you live in Point Richmond, it's got all these extra bonds for police services, you know, school district, sanitary district, and stuff like that. So that adds up.
And all of these were voted for by the electorate and passed with a two-thirds vote?
Exactly. Uh-huh.
Now, that two-thirds vote requirement, wasn't that part of Prop 13 also? Because before that, wasn't it a simple majority?
I think it was part of Prop 13 that it has to be a two-thirds vote of the people to pass special assessments on property.
Uh-huh. And do you hear more and more these days about people trying to get rid of Prop 13? Now, I think, personally, that would be a horrible, horrible, horrible thing. And I'm amazed that Prop 13 was voted through by the people and not overturned by some idiot judge, you know.
Actually, Prop 13 was almost overturned by Macy's Corporation. When it happened here in Contra Costa County, there was went all the way to the California Supreme Court. I mean, U.S. Supreme Court. And Macy's was going to win because Macy's was arguing in the Sun Valley Mall that there was not equalization in taxes anymore because JCPenney's had been in the mall for 10 years and had a real low base. Macy's had just entered the mall and had a really high base. They were paying like four times as much taxes as Penny's. So they sued and they had the money to do it. So they went to court. They appealed it and got all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And at the last minute, they were pretty sure that U.S. Supreme Court or California, regardless, they were in a Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And they were about to get it overturned. And there was this campaign by the Jarvis Gann people, and everybody was sending in their Macy's credit cards all cut up to Macy's. And the 11th hour, Macy's dropped the case.
I never knew that. Was that a long time ago, like shortly after it passed?
Like 1980 or 81, I think.
So that would have been a year or two, three years after Prop 13 passed.
It took that long to get through the court system.
Okay,
so
some other things that have passed since then, there's Prop – I'm trying to remember 58 or Prop 60 or something like that.
Yes.
That has to do with the transfer of property of Proposition 13 protected taxes, right?
I'll go through them for you. First of all, there's Prop. Yeah. What happened? See, Prop 13 is not a perfect document. It left a lot of stuff out. And one of the things it left out was all of a sudden the parent wanted to transfer his property to his kid, but he didn't want to get reassessed. So, because, you know, a guy's owned a house for 30 years, he's got a $50,000 base on a $500,000 home, and he dies and leaves it to his son or daughter, and all of a sudden their taxes go up tenfold. So, because it's market value at date of transfer, there's only two ways you get your house reassessed in California, new construction or change of ownership. So some of those changes of ownership are exempt, like parent-child transfer, you can exempt that. And you can do it by any instrument, and it keeps your house. You can basically inherit or accept your parents' tax base on their home.
Now, that's not between other relatives, right? It's only between parent and child or child and parent. Is that true?
Right, exactly. Not brother and sister, not aunt or uncle, but it does apply to stepchildren and step-parents. And then there's Prop 50, that was Prop 50, and there's Prop 60, which allows people to transfer their base one time in their own county. In other words, if you...
And isn't there something about counties that reciprocate with each other?
Yes, there's like five or six left. That's Prop 90, but very few counties do that right now. Why? I don't know. Now's the time to do it. But that's where you can sell your... If you're 55 years or older, you can sell your house and transfer your base to another house within the same county, providing the new house, the replacement property, is the same price or less than the one you just sold.
Same price or less.
And you get to do that once in your life, just once in your life.
Oh.
They keep track of it, this database in Sacramento. I had an older couple come in the office not too long ago, and they've both been widowed, and they just recently married. And they came in and they wanted to buy a house out in the east end of the county and, you know, together and buy a cheaper house. And they couldn't do it because the husband had done a Prop 60 with his wife when they were married before she passed away.
Right.
And the wife says to me, "Oh, Mr. Kramer, you know, she's in tears. How can we do this? How can we do this?" I looked at her and I said, "You know, get divorced. And if you want to test your resolve with your spouse or significant other, tell them you want to get divorced or separate for tax reasons. You'll really test your relationship." Anyway, that being said, the husband laughed and the wife got really pissed off at me and I never saw him again. I probably am not going to get their vote this June. So that'd be
probably not. Maybe one of them.
Anyway, and then the other proposition is kind of interesting is Prop 3. If you own a piece of property that's purchased by a public agency, you know, for road widening or for a public project or something, or by PG&E, a pseudo, you know, public agency, and then you can transfer your property tax base anywhere in the state of California, any county. If you're in Contra Costa and the county comes along, wipes out your house because they want to build a freeway, you can go down to L.A. or Modoc County or wherever you want to go and take your property tax
base. Well, that seems only right now.
It's only
fair. About it. Right.
You're forced out.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking with Gus Kramer, who is the county assessor of Contra Costa County. And he's a guest here on the Saturday special here for a while. So if you have a question about property taxes, now is the perfect time. When do you get to talk to a real live breathing, you know, a county assessor here about property taxes? So feel free to give us a call at 479-1080 here. If you call here pretty soon, we will put you on with Gus and he'll, now I've got a question about, when you said that January 1st is a magic date, you know, every year for the assessor's office, not just yours, but all of them. Some of them have little idiosyncrasies that aren't in practice in other offices, but that's uniform throughout the state. January 1st is the magic date. Okay, how long after the tax bill or the tax assessment or even tax bill is generated do you have to contest it before it is presumed that you are in accord with and agree with the assessment? In other words, what is that magic date, or is there a magic date?
Well, most counties send out a card in July that tells you what your value is going to be for the next tax year. If you don't get that card, you get your tax bill in September. In other words, you get assessed, the property is looked at for value on January 1, you get the tax bill the following September, and the first payment's not due until December 10th. But by law, the law says from, I think it's July 2nd through, I think it's November 1st, you can file an appeal.
Oh.
But you got a big window. And
because I did that, and I didn't like what the appeal said, so it was after November 1st that I first talked, talked to you.
Yeah, but you can.
So am I dead in the water?
No. Most assessors will accept, you know, administrative discussions about your value through December. In fact, we'll actually, in Contra Costa, you know, we know people are busy with their lives and they're trying to feed their families and survive in this economy. So we actually accept, information through the following May. Just to work it out with people.
Because, yeah. So there is a chance that, and you told me, and I've been told this before, don't, it's going to be what it is, or it is going to be what it's going to be.
Right.
And if you get an idea that there's a good chance that there's going to be a reduction, maybe you should just hold off or pay what you think that's going to be. And you said absolutely not pay the full amount.
Absolutely.
And then if there is a reduction, then you'll get a refund later.
Exactly. We get a lot of people come in and say, well, I've only paid the amount I think it should be. And I tell them, you're going to, first of all, a tax collector won't accept that. They won't accept it. They'll send it back to you and say, hey, you're short.
Yeah, you're short the whole amount, not just the
that's right.
Pay, yeah, pay the difference.
Pay the exact amount of the bill, and you'll get a refund later. Otherwise, you risk the chance of paying penalties and interest. I guarantee you'll pay penalties and interest.
Yeah. So that's what I did, and so not pay penalties and interest. I paid what I, you know, the full bill, even though I thought, you know, I thought
right.
they were both, you know, way too much. Anyhow, hey, it looks like we got some callers here. Joe and Carmel, welcome to this KSCO
yes.
Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080.
Yes.
KSCO, here is Gus
Thanks
Kramer.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
First of all, my question is a little bit complicated, and I'd like to know, first of all, if counties differ widely on handling this particular issue. I don't want to say which county I'm talking about, but... if it matters which county, then I'll guess I'll have to tell you. But anyway, so I bought a teardown house that was a little over $800,000, and we remodeled it. In effect, we built a new house there, but we call it a remodeling because it's in the coastal zone.
Right.
The first assessment we got on it was sky high, but it was on the market for sale and it hadn't been sold yet, and the builder went to the particular county and got them to knock off quite a bit off the assessment because it was, he argued at that time, a new house that had not been sold yet and was on the market.
Right.
So we got quite a substantial reduction in our property tax for that. Now, is that something every county does?
Well, it's within the law, absolutely. If you pay $800,000 for a teardown house, without any other information, the assessor staff is going to assume that the value was in the lot, the value was in the lot because it had utilities hooked up and it has a certain value. So unless you tell them otherwise, they don't know. They can't read people's mind. All they do is get a copy of the deed.
Oh, they sure knew. I mean, they knew that this house was being significantly expanded,
is, you were willing to pay $800,000 for a house that was a teardown. There must be some value there.
Well, what I'm asking about is the builder got the assessment that they gave us on their own initiative, the new assessment, the much higher assessment. Knocked down on the I think it was on the premise that this is a new house that a builder had built to sell, and until it actually sold, there's some argument for having a lower assessment.
Well, you know, I don't know the particulars of that. I don't have all the information to look at, but if you buy a house that's worth $800,000 that's been a teardown, and then you convince the assessor to give you a lower value because it's going to need a lot of work, that's within the law. But then when you remodel it, then you're, like I said earlier, the only time you can reassess a house or property is when there's change of ownership or new construction. And if you're remodeling it, the assessor then, because there's permits taken out, has an obligation to go look at it and say, all right, what's the new market value of this house, all things considered. So that's what you're dealing with.
Well, but during the time period before it sells to a new end user...
you're throwing new information into it.
I'm sorry?
Now you're throwing new information into it. Go ahead.
Okay, but evidently during that time period, until it's sold to a new end user, the builder doesn't have to pay the raised property tax. Is that true in every county? Or is that unique to Monterey County?
If the builder applies for a builder's exclusion, that's true. He doesn't have to pay the supplemental on the improvement. That's correct.
And that's true in every county?
Yes, state law.
I see.
Joe, we would have guessed that it's Monterey County because you're Joe and Carmel.
Yeah, right.
You know? So, no big deal. Don't worry. They're not going to come and get you, I don't think. Might they, Gus? Maybe someone will in Monterey County.
They're probably listening right now like Big Brother, and they know exactly who you are.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate your call to the Saturday special. Here's Jim in Boulder Creek. Jim, you're on with Gus Kramer, who's the county assessor of Contra Costa County.
Hi, Gus. Hey, listen. My sister and myself, along with our spouses, prior to 78, purchased a couple of properties together. Now, then we started a company, but it's not really a corporation. We just created a name so we could have a separate bank account like ABCO Management.
Right.
And so then we managed this over the years. Now, if I buy, they're half interest. How does that affect the taxes?
Is it a corporation or just a partnership?
Just a partnership.
If it's a partnership, it'll be treated like whatever interest is sold will be reassessed.
Okay, so if
and
I
it might be reassessed downward depending upon when it was purchased.
That's right. That's true. That's very true. We're seeing a lot of that.
Okay, but the idea is though it will be reassessed. That's a legitimate reassessment of it.
Yes. Yes, it is. Now, this is the part about Prop 13 that always bothered me. This is a court interpretation. But corporation, if you sell 50% or less, they don't reassess. Corporations have more life under Prop 13 than individuals do. It's a little scary. It's something that probably should be corrected.
Wow. Yeah, well, a corporation is treated like an individual, obviously, so I guess that's the right.
But it's treated like a preferential individual.
Well, the theory is that they're selling stocks, so therefore, corporations have stocks, so if they sell a little bit of interest, you'd be going crazy reassessing corporations all the time, so they treat.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now that you're bringing that up.
Yeah,
but you think that should be changed, Gus?
I don't know. I think instead of going after corporations, I think they should just extend the same privileges to the individual.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that's very nice. Jim, is your question answered by Gus?
Very much. Thank you very
much. Okay, very good. Yeah, that's open lines at 479-1080 in area 831. If you got a question for the assessor about property taxes. So let's see. I've got some more questions here. Reassessment. So let's talk about Prop 13. Do you think Prop 13 will somehow be eliminated someday? Because
no, I think Prop 13 is here to stay, regardless of how you feel about it personally.
Oh, I love it. I think it's wonderful.
I do, too. I mean, at first, I was working for the Sheriff Coroner's Office back then, and they would cut our jobs, and they weren't going to give us any raises. So at the time, we were all kind of pissed about it. But after a couple of years and being a property owner and owning rental property as I do, I kind of learned to appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
But Prop 13 is the third rail of politics. Anybody talks about eliminating Prop 13 should just run out in front of a bus and get squished, because they're not going to get elected. They're not going to get elected the dog catcher. They're not. I mean, people, and a lot of people say, well, let's have a split role. And not a split role would give corporations and industrial properties, commercial properties, a 2% rather than 1% of their value for taxes. Well, that sounds good, but the homeowners aren't going to vote for it.
Gus, we got the news coming up in just a few seconds here. Can you stay over and join us for a little bit next hour?
Yeah, can you call me back? Because
sure.
I've got to literally go somewhere. So
okay.
Call me back when you can.
Okay, very good. Thank you. It's Gus Kramer, and this is KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's coming up on 11 a.m. You will be hearing Fox News for 6 minutes. Followed by hour number two of the Saturday special. Stay with us.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel. NATO says insurgents have attacked its military base in southern Afghanistan. A NATO spokeswoman says rockets began hitting Kandahar airfield hours ago, followed by militants launching a ground assault. The airfield in Kandahar is the starting point for thousands of troops. Those who graduated from West Point today could soon find themselves in Afghanistan or Iraq. They were congratulated by President Obama earlier.
The president told more than 1,000 graduating cadets here at West Point a long, hard road awaits them. 78 of their former classmates have died in Iraq and Afghanistan. And though Mr. Obama said he hopes to end the combat mission in Iraq this summer, he vowed to persevere in Afghanistan.
We will adapt. We will persist. And I have no doubt that together with our Afghan and international partners, we will succeed in Afghanistan.
The president also previewed the national security strategy he'll unveil next week, saying America has not succeeded by stepping outside the currents of cooperation. We have succeeded by steering those currents in the direction of liberty and justice. At the graduation ceremonies at West Point, Wendell Goller, Fox News Radio.
It's going to be a couple more days before BP launches its next offensive on the oil spill in the Gulf.
The next chapter in this saga is going to be that top kill strategy where they flood the leaking oil well with heavy mud, and if that doesn't work, with golf balls, shredded rope, shredded tires, and other man-made debris, and then seal it off with cement.
That's Fox's Jonathan Seri reporting from Venice, Louisiana. Some of the people who survived a plane crash in India did so by jumping from the plane before it caught fire. Eight people lived. Almost 160 died. Indian authorities say all the dead have now been removed from the plane. That plane overshot the runway and fell off a cliff. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Every day, more people wake up with America's number one morning news show. Breaking news you need to know, guests you have to see, and stories that have everyone talking. Steve, Brian, and Gretchen, the fair and balanced news team more Americans trust.
You get news like you don't see it on other channels.
We have a conversation with America.
The difference with Fox and Friends is that we also bring you tons of fun, and you're just not going to find that anywhere else.
Weekdays, wake up to Friends. Wake up to Fox and Friends, only on Fox. Smart, tough, trusted. Megyn Kelly covers every story, every event on America Live. Digging deeper, debating key issues, discussing the topics impacting you.
Our mission is to get you the facts fair and balanced.
There are two sides to every story. Only one show delivers both fair and balanced. Watch America Live with Megyn Kelly, weekdays only on Fox News Channel.
We don't judge, we let you decide.
President Obama being very clear in his weekly address, focusing on the oil spill in the Gulf.
What led to this disaster was a breakdown of responsibility on the part of BP and perhaps others, including Transocean and Halliburton.
The president said the responsible will be paying.
And we'll continue to hold the relevant companies accountable, not only for being forthcoming and transparent about the facts surrounding the leak, but for shutting it down, repairing the damage it does, and repaying Americans who've suffered a financial loss.
Republicans answered, this is not the time to dump offshore drilling.
That would make offshore drilling safer, smarter, and more reliable, but not extinct.
Louisiana Representative David Vitter says he's crafting new legislation that would make companies more fiscally responsible for accidents. Hundreds of mourners at a church in Detroit gathered to remember a 7-year-old girl who was shot and killed during a police raid on her home. Cops say an officer's gun accidentally went off after he came in contact with the victim's grandmother. The family is suing. It was a scandal at the time, suggesting the Earth revolved around the sun.
He was a scientist who helped usher in the modern scientific age. 16th century Polish astronomer Nicholas Copernicus, who was condemned by the Catholic Church for theorizing the Earth revolved around the sun, thereby removing Earth and humanity from the central position in the universe, is finally being acknowledged as Polish priests rebury his remains in a cathedral where he once served as the church canon. Lori London, Fox News Radio.
The border station in Franklin, Vermont, along the Canadian border, isn't used too often. Still, the feds want to expand it. And the government's telling the dairy farm next door if it doesn't sell, the government will seize the land. The Rainville family dairy farm currently uses the 5 acres in question for hayfield. The government says it will pay $40,000 or take the land through eminent domain. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here for the weekend. Mostly sunny today. High of 64. The northwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy. Low of 43. The northwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. And Sunday, sunny skies. High of 73. 63, with northwest winds 15 to 25 miles per hour. And out there on the Monterey Bay, the northwest winds 5 to 15 knots, becoming west 15 to 25 knots in the afternoon. Wind waves 3 to 5 feet, northwest swell 5 to 7 feet at 10 seconds, and south 4 feet at 20 seconds. Tonight out there, the northwest winds 15 to 25 knots. Wind waves 3 to 5 feet, mixed swell, northwest 5 to 7 feet at 10 seconds, and south 3 to 4 feet at 19 seconds. On Sunday, out on the Monterey Bay, the northwest winds 5 to 15 knots, becoming west 15 to 25 in the afternoon. Wind waves less than 2 feet, becoming 3 to 4 feet in the afternoon, with a mixed swell of northwest 5 to 7 feet at 9 seconds, and south 3 to 4 feet at 18 seconds. For your KSCO King of the Hill traffic update, nothing to report at the moment. Give me a call, 475-1080. If you see something out there, I can warn all your fellow drivers. Current temperature's 54 in Monterey. It's 55 degrees in Salinas, 56 in Watsonville, and we're at 61 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO studios. The official time is 11:06 and 56 seconds on this Saturday, May 22nd, 2010. Up next, the second hour of the Saturday special with Michael Zwirling. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
Does no traffic to report mean there's no traffic?
I think everybody's chilling at the house, hanging out. Or maybe they're just driving carefully.
Hey, Greg in Santa Cruz and Erlene in Soquel have questions for Gus Kramer.
I'm going to grab him.
See if you can get him back on the line here. And now, listen, gang. Now is the time to call 479-1080 if you have any question about property taxes and reassessments and the impact on what's going to happen to the county. I can ask him that when we get Gus back on. I don't know how much time he has because he's going around making sure he gets signs planted here for his reelection up in Contra Costa County. But what better time? How often do you get a chance to talk to a real live county assessor and ask questions that only such a person could answer? So give us a call, 479-1080, if you want to talk to Gus Kramer. So let's see, it is now 8 minutes past 11 a.m. on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. It's the Saturday special, hour number two. Let's bring Gus back on. Gus, you there?
I'm still here.
Okay, good. Here's Greg in Santa Cruz who has a question for you. Greg, you're on the air.
Yes, Gus. Hi. I'm interested in purchasing a house in Santa Cruz from a friend of mine. And when you brought up the issue of maintaining your tax basis, you know, with being a son or of the owner, I was thinking, well, the guy, I couldn't have the guy adopt me, but what if I did a deal where I had a contract to purchase, but kept it in this person's name, but basically had controlling interest over the property, like an option to purchase at any time that I could enforce, and kept it in their name and just paid the tax that he was paying.
You could, the best way to do that is to talk to an attorney about it. There's a variety of ways to take title. If you're going to add somebody to your title, to have the right of ship if something happens to you, you take it under joint tenancy as if I have a house I took under with my brother as joint tenancy. I have a piece of property I own with my ex-wife as joint tenancy because we know that if one of us passes away, we want the other one to have it. That's the best way to do it, to keep the house from being reassessed when you actually buy it. But if you split up the partnership, the house will be reassessed if the original assessee is not on title. But I think what
Greg wants to do is buy something from a friend and get around the reassessment. And I think what you're talking about, Greg, is not really taking title. Am I right?
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Well,
having an option to purchase.
You could do the option to purchase is fine. That satisfies it. But I suggest you talk to him before you do.
Okay.
All right, Greg, there you go. Here comes Erlene in Soquel. Welcome to the Saturday special, Erlene. Here's Gus Kramer. You got a tax question, presumably.
I do. My parents passed away, and they had their house in a trust.
Yeah.
And there are three siblings, and one would like to purchase it from the trust, but of course the other two siblings would get the money for it. Would they be able to take Proposition 13?
Yes, go down and talk to your local assessor and tell them exactly what you just said to me. What I suggest people do if there are more than one child is that they write into their trust that they want a particular child, or if one particular child wants the house, that they get the house as their pro rata share of the estate, and then they have to reconcile the estate and the house with the other siblings. That is doable. The big mistake most people make when they inherit a house like you have is that they take title to the house as all three siblings, and then one of you buys the others out, and you get two-thirds of it reassessed because two of you get bought
out.
But
we didn't do that. We didn't put our names on it. It's still in the trust.
You're in a good position right now. Go down and tell your local assessor what you'd like to do and make sure they're on board with it, and that was the intent of your parents.
Right on. It was their intent.
Okay, yes. Make sure that they understand that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Arlene, thanks for your call to the Saturday special.
Okay.
479-1080 if you want to call going. Here's Connie and Aptos. Connie, you're on with Gus.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was wondering about the mechanics of it. When you call the assessor's office, do you have to have a new appraisal of your house or what?
Not at all. I mean, if your house has gone down in value and you like your property reduced, taxes reduced. If you have a very customized home, it would help. If it's a more a standard house or a cookie, like I said, a subdivision house, you probably won't need that. Sometimes a letter from a local realtor giving their opinion of value will help the appraiser determine the value easier and better. You know, you got to remember these appraisers are kind of overwhelmed right now, and any information you can bring them that makes their jobs easier, they're going to appreciate, and hopefully you're the benefactor of that.
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay. Sure. Yeah, so doesn't look like we do have another caller here, so we'll just put that call on directly. Hi, you're on the air on KSCO.
Yeah, I was wondering if you pull a permit for, like, repairs on a house, does that bring on a reassessment?
Yes, it does. What happens now, especially with, like, with the computer and the Internet, as soon as you pull a permit on a property to remodel, a carbon copy of that gets sent to the assessor's office. And then the assessor's office usually gives it 6 months to a year, and they call you. Most assessors send out a self-reporting form that says, hey, you took out a permit to add a living room. Draw us a picture of what you did and tell us what it cost you to build, and please send us form back. I mean, we don't have these staff to send out anymore. But let me tell you a little trick that you should remember when you do that, when you do an addition. Every addition, there's a cost of demolition, and there's the cost of retrofitting. Now, retrofitting is when you got to hook back up all the utilities, the sewer line, the water line, tie the roof into the old roof. Those are not costs that are normally associated with new construction, so they're not reassessable. So if you do a $200,000 addition, living room, family room, extra bedroom, and bath, you may find about 30%, 35% of that is demolition and retro, and that's not reassessable. And don't be bashful about reminding the appraiser or the assessor's office that those were a cost. Many times you can get the contractor to break those out for you.
Yeah. I was wondering, I know an old couple that inherited a house. It was assessed at around, $800,000 or something.
Sure.
But the house was over 100 years old, and it was in what they would term delayed maintenance, a lot of delayed maintenance on the thing. And they were trying to get the assessment down. And a lot of times the appraisers can't tell, you know, how much delayed maintenance is in a house. And I'm just wondering how the assessors come up with figures for that. I mean,
well, you know, again, they don't see it unless someone brings it to their attention. So the best thing to do in a unique case like that or a historical building is have an appraiser or a local realtor come out and give you a valuation of what they think, you know, and let them address deferred maintenance and stuff like that. And then the appraisers are usually pretty reasonable about, modifying the value. You got to remember, when they see these older houses, lots of times the value is not in the structure. The value is in the land. And that's why people tear them down and build new houses.
Thanks, Gus. Okay. Have a good day, huh?
Okay, caller. Thanks for calling the KSCO Saturday Special. Dan in Colorado. Are you really in Colorado, Dan?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're listening on the Internet, huh?
Yeah, I'm listening on my Internet phone, my Droid phone.
Oh, Ben in Colorado. It's Ben. Yeah. It said Dan. Okay. It's Ben Fuchs is going to be speaking here. So do you have a property reassessment thing here, Ben?
Oh, I don't. Oh,
okay, great. We'll put you back on hold, and we'll finish up with Gus here because we've got a couple of other callers. And then we'll just put you back on hold here, okay?
Okay.
Just a sec. Yeah, it said Dan in Colorado. It was really Ben, our pharmacist Ben, who does the program here. So, okay, Mark in Prunedale, welcome to the Saturday Special on AM 1080 KSCO. Gus Kramer, the county assessor, is on with us.
Yeah, great show. Thank you. My wife and I are about 15 years difference in age, and both of our names are on the property deed. Do we have to worry about anything? You know, if one of us was the past before the other, is there special state worries, or is that protected by marriage?
The only thing I would worry about is getting the pillow treatment in the middle of the night from your wife. That's all I would worry about at this point.
Say that one.
Anyway, no, you have nothing to worry about. Age disparity doesn't come into play at all. As long as you have your estate in good order and you have everything going where you guys want it to go, don't worry about it.
So just because one spouse passes doesn't mean that the property gets reassessed or anything like
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. That's exempt. When a spouse passes, that's exempt from reassessment.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Great
Just
show.
Make sure it's a proper spouse.
Yeah.
Okay. All righty, Prunedale, Mark, thanks for calling the KSCO Saturday Special. Clay in SoCal, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks. Hey, I got a question. I was fortunate enough to have a friend of mine have a capital gains issue and had to reinvest it. And he wound up buying a piece of property that I really wanted. It was bare land. And we kept it in his name for 3 years. And then after that, he wouldn't have to pay capital gains. And so then I purchased it from him, minus all the improvements that I did to it during the 3 years. And when I purchased it, I went down to the assessors and told them how much I purchased it for. And they said, did you go through a realtor? And I said, no. And they said, well, then we can't trust this as a viable
Ooh, interesting price. Question. Wow.
And they said, we consider this an at-arm's length deal, and we don't believe you. And they tripled the sale price.
Yeah, now you mean, they consider it not an arm's length deal, is I think what you meant, right?
An at-arm's length deal. Something like that. Anyway, with the verbiage
yeah,
irrelevant.
Yeah, you've got a problem, because if there's documentation to your relationship, with the previous owner, then the assessor's office could take that in consideration, or the appeals board could take that in consideration.
Yeah, we had a joint tenants in common contract drawn up for the 3 years, and then when I purchased it, I had to rebuild a bridge to the property, and we deducted that capital cost off the price that he purchased it for.
I would share that with the assessor's office.
Okay.
I would share all that. I mean, people find this very strange when they say, oh, I don't want to tell the assessor, they'll reassess me for this. You know what? If you put all your cards on the table and be honest with them and say, listen, this was the relationship, this was the agreement, I actually had an interest in the property during this period, so it shouldn't be reassessed three times, it should just be reassessed 50% because I had a 50% interest.
Yeah. Now, I have one other question. When I do improvements to the property, they're telling me that they're going to assess it as if a contractor came in and did it with profit and overhead built into the cost of the improvement.
Well, they're going to consider that. That's true. They're going to consider what it would cost a normal person to do the ad. A lot of people build their own houses, and they build a house for $200,000. The market value is $400,000, and they want their assessed value at $200,000. Prop 13 again says market value, not the actual cost.
Okay. Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me, Gus, in 1980. Yeah. I had built a house that I paid $150,000 for the lot, and it cost me $150,000 being my own contractor.
Right.
And so I was in at $200,000, and the assessor's office said, oh, no. I said, well, wait a minute. This is what I actually paid. They said, well, you did. There was no builder's overhead, and there was none.
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff gets ground into the equation as part value. Of the market value, right.
Yeah, okay, so
market value.
Do you have a deal? If I want to put pavers, for example, in build a little patio in the front yard, Right. And I go down and I spend $1,000 on pavers, they're going to charge me $10,000 because it's, if you ask a paving contractor, it's going to be $10 a square foot, roughly. So I'm going to get assessed for $10,000 more when it only cost me $1,000 to do
it.
I know
it doesn't seem right, but that's the way the law's written.
No,
until that's changed.
Is there a place you can check and find out exactly what is an accessible improvement to your property?
Yeah, Marshall's one. Most of the assessor's office use a book called Marshall and Swift. I think you'll find it on the internet.
Okay.
You can do that. But let me share something with you. Just because you add $10,000 worth of paving to your property doesn't make your property worth $10,000 more. Your argument is, look, the measure for the assessor's office should be, or any appraiser, is what was the value before you did the work? What's the value after the work? And if you have two houses next to each other identical and I added these pavers, how much more would it make the house worth? Probably nothing. It would just make it more marketable. That would be my argument.
Okay.
Okay.
That sounds great.
All right.
Yeah, good. I guess that sort of wraps up the calls. I want to ask one question. It's maybe a tax collector question rather
sure.
than a tax assessor's question.
And if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. Go ahead.
Okay, Gus. So listen, you're doing a lot. Your office is doing a lot of downward assessments these days.
That's right.
I mean, what kind of dollar impact to the county coffers? Do you have any kind of an estimate, or
it's costing the county. The county lost about 7% last year in its tax revenue, and this year they're probably going to be about the same, maybe a little bit less. And the county's having to cut back on everything, including safety, which is the worst. I mean, you cut back on fire and police services, this, you know, negatively affects everything. Having to cut back on everything. Everybody's getting cut.
Wow.
Which reduces the level of public service.
So how far can all this go? I mean, there are some people who are saying we ain't seen nothing yet because there's going to be a whole new wave of foreclosures coming that's going to further depress prices.
That's what we're seeing, another wave. And the unfortunate part about all this is the people that suffer the most are the ones who have no lobbyists, children and elderly. I mean, poor elderly when I say that. They're the ones who get reduced services from social services and the schools. And they're the ones who suffer first.
Wow. Hey, listen, we really appreciate your coming on, especially with such short notice. I called you out of the blue this morning at 8 o'clock or something and said, would you come on?
Oh, it's all right.
So,
it's all right. Whatever I can do to inform the public on what their rights are and what they should be doing to help them out, that's what we're here for.
Well, we appreciate that, Gus, and you're a cool dude, and best of luck to you in the re-election process here. Something tells me that the anti-incumbent sentiment isn't going to affect you. I got a funny feeling, but maybe.
I hope it doesn't. I hope it does. If not, I'll be knocking on your door to host it.
Oh, you'd be a great host. That'd be wonderful. Fantastic. Okay. We'll stay in touch. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Kramer, who is the county assessor of Contra Costa County in the San Francisco Bay Area. Now back to Ben, not Dan. Ben. Pharmacist
Ben.
Hi, Pharmacist Ben. Thanks for calling in. Are you
Thanks
as excited as I am about your
yeah.
about the coming of Ben to the Monterey Bay Area?
I'm excited to see all my friends. I'm excited to meet some new friends. I'm excited to do a couple of talks, and I'm excited to come to Santa Cruz, which I love.
You've always, for as long as I've known you, you've been really, really passionate about health. And it's not because you've been in a business of selling health supplements.
Well,
or anything
no,
like
not.
That. I mean, you've always been in a skin. You're a dispensing.
I call it a nutritional pharmacist.
Yeah, and there aren't too many other nutritional pharmacists around, are there?
I made it up out of my head because I saw a couple things. First of all, in pharmacy school, one of the things that pharmacists study a lot of, and most people don't realize this because pharmacists don't use this skill, but we study a lot about nutrition. But we don't study nutrition like a dietitian studies nutrition. We study nutrition as if nutrients were medicine. We study the medicinal properties of vitamins, the medicinal properties of antioxidants, minerals, et cetera, the medicinal properties of food substances, and we study diseases as if they were nutritional deficiencies. In pharmacy school, we're trained with this idea, as well as the minutiae, the ins and outs, the details of the fact that diseases are caused by nutritional deficiencies, and nutrients can be used to treat those diseases. And so when I graduated pharmacy school and during pharmacy school, when I was learning about nutrients, and we're also learning about drugs as poisons, and medicines are poisons.
They really are.
Literally, that's how they work. They poison systems to disguise symptoms. That's how they work. And so,
why would anybody want to do that? I guess
because we didn't understand how the body works back in the, and I think this is why. We didn't understand how the body works when these pharmacy substances were being developed. In the heyday, or when they first started developing, was the middle of the 19th century. We didn't really understand the body very well. We haven't really understood the body until the last maybe 40 or 50 years. But by that time, the whole pharmaceutical industry was entrenched, and the mindset and the social customs accepted the idea that you can take drugs to take care of your body.
And that's a worldwide phenomenon, right, Ben?
Yeah. Fact is, drugs don't heal anybody. They don't heal anything. They disguise symptomology. They work only with symptoms. And it's very ironic that the people who we trust to take care of our health are not taking care of our health. They're taking care of our disease. And so this
unwittingly.
I hope it's unwittingly. I'm reading an article now in the New York Times that says, headline, when patients don't fill their prescriptions, and it's about a doctor who prescribed some medicines to a patient, and the patient didn't feel like taking it because he wasn't feeling well from taking it, and he ended up dying. And the moral of the story, at least according to this article, is if you don't take your drugs, you're going to die. But the real moral of the story should be, let's figure out what's causing the problem. There's no drug deficiency state. So that there's something missing. Some system in the body is not getting fed. In fact, at the point of death, you really die because some tissue system, some organ system, is not getting fed.
Yeah, part of you dies first. You don't die altogether, do you?
Not that. No, but a system, at the point of death, when you finally do die, yeah, your heart gives out or your brain gives out, and ultimately it's because it's not being fed. Long story short, it just made sense to me to focus on nutrition in my practice. And the more I did, the more I started to see that you could take care of blood pressure, you could take care of blood sugar issues like diabetes, you could take care of movement disorders, you could take care of neuropathies and pains, you could take care of sleeping disorders, you could take care of a lot of things simply by changing the diet and adding nutritional supplements. And the more I saw this, the more passionate I became, because I began to realize that we are starving ourselves to death. We're not thriving as we should. Our bodies aren't thriving as we should. Because, at least partially, because we are not eating correctly and because we're not nutriating correctly. Now, I'm always careful to say that disease as well as wellness are spiritual, mental, and emotional first, and then they show up physically. So I don't want to mislead anybody by thinking all you got to do is take this vitamin or that vitamin or eat this food or don't eat that food.
It's a great balance, and that's what your program is all about, right?
Yeah. So all the dimensions of wellness, spiritual wellness, mental wellness, emotional wellness, and physical wellness. That means you have to think correct thoughts, feel correct feelings, and have some spiritual component that's active in your life. If you're thinking crappy thoughts, you're going to have a crappy body. If you're feeling crappy feelings, you're going to have a crappy body. And if you don't have a spiritual connection, whatever that is for you, non-denominational, it's going to show up physically. Once those three needs are met, once those three levels, those three dimensions of awareness and consciousness are taken care of, then you can work physically, and you can do some dramatic things. And you're right, I'm very passionate about it because I've seen it over and over and over again. I've seen people's lives change, and I've seen people's skin improve, their appearance improve. I've seen them lose weight. I've seen them feel better. I've seen them love life again simply by starting to add certain supplements to their diet and changing their diet around. And that's why I'm doing these talks. And I've been doing these talks for many years, as you know. And I'm very excited about doing it in Santa Cruz, June 3rd and June 4th. It'll be packed, and I mean packed with information.
And if the room should be packed too, and again, those dates are June 3rd in Salinas at the charter school there. You can call 422-3400, talk to the readers about getting free reservations for Ben's talk there, or you can call 429-2222. To make reservations for June 4th talk from Ben Fuchs at Seacliff Inn in Aptos at 7 p.m. I want both of those rooms to just be overflowing with people.
I would love that.
Because you might have been hearing the ads that we've been putting on, the promos, and thinking it's a little obnoxious. Well, I hope you don't think that, because I cannot I cannot overemphasize the importance of going to these, and it's free, and you're under no obligation to purchase anything. If you want to purchase a book or something, feel free. If you don't want to, you don't want to. We want you to get information. And there isn't anybody that I know of who can impart more information about health than pharmacist Ben here. So
thank you. The title of the talk is going to be The Eight Chapters of Good Nutrition, which I've been talking about for many years, and we're going to focus on skincare because that is one of my specialties. As you know, I've been developing skincare products for many years, and we're going to focus on skin issues, but we'll talk about all kinds of health issues, and we'll really hit hard on the eight chapters of good nutrition. Protein,
now,
fat, carbohydrates, fiber, water, vitamin C.
You're going to be on the air with Dave Allen tomorrow. At 4 p.m., I think. Is that right?
Yeah.
And you're not going to be talking about the standard health things that you talk about. You know,
well, I like to talk about a lot of things. I just like to talk.
Now, what are you going to be talking about with Dave? There's a nice promo that I've heard. I don't know if that's in the rotation, Nikki, the Dave Allen promo. But we can talk since we have Ben here. You know, it's going to be a little different from how you normally talk, right?
Well, only a little bit different. It'll emphasize empowerment, and that's really if you want to sum up in one word everything I say, I talk about the common denominator in everything I talk about. It's personal empowerment. I like the quantum model. I like physics. I'm very fascinated with quantum physics anyway. I'm very fascinated with the model, not the mathematics of it necessarily, because I'm not a very good mathematician. But, and by the way, you know Albert Einstein wasn't a good mathematician either? He failed math.
I didn't know that.
He always said he wasn't a good mathematician. But in any case, I like the model, the quantum physics model. It really lends itself, if you can apply some of the ideas in quantum to your personal life, it lends itself to really be having a very effective and fully self-expressed life, in the sense that quantum is about ambiguity. Quantum physics is really at its core about ambiguity, and that is the sense that nothing is really here, nothing is there, there is no time, opposites exist simultaneously. There's all these paradoxes in quantum physics. The human mind doesn't like paradoxes. The human mind likes certainty. We like to be black and white. We like to know, but at its core, the universe is not certain. At its core, the universe is, at the quantum level anyway, the universe is very vague. It's very nebulous. It's fuzzy.
That's exactly right.
And so we need to learn to live with fuzziness. We need to learn to live with ambiguity. And our power comes, in my feeling is that power comes from the resilient sense of being flexible with the universe. Understanding that things aren't always as they seem, understanding there's an invisible dimension, and understanding that things can be black and white at the same time. Now, that doesn't even make sense. That sounds crazy, but...
No, that's fuzzy logic.
That's fuzzy logic. And in quantum physics, it said if the universe is not only weirder than you suppose, it's weirder than you can suppose. And that really sums up the idea of not only quantum physics, but of the world in general. Because, of course, the world is made up of quanta, made up of these tiny little building blocks. You know the atom is mostly empty space? You know, you're mostly empty space, and you're just whizzing around.
I refuse to believe that. I think of myself as more substantive than that.
It's not. Nothing. The universe is empty and meaningless aside from the meaning we put on it, and that's the key. We put the meaning on our experience. Experience just is. The world just is, and we put the meaning there. And so that means we have great power in creating our lives. And this is a secret that the power structure itself doesn't want you to know, that you have great power in creating your life through the meaning you place on it. And so we think things have to mean the first thing that we see. So somebody dies or some problem happens in our life, and we just jump into whatever meaning spontaneously arises. But we have power over that meaning. We don't realize that we have power. We can make things mean whatever we want. The world is inherently meaningless. We put the meaning there, and that is tremendous power because our experience is created from our meaning.
Does this make sense? Does this make sense to the bulk of our audience, or is it, or is it above our audience's heads?
I hope not.
I hope not too. I'd be interested in.
You know, I get emails.
479-1080 if you want to call and chip into the conversation.
Yeah, I'd love to hear what people think about this.
Yeah, it might be too deep for them. On the other hand, I don't want to insult our audience and have people think that I think they're airheads.
Don't do that.
No, I'm not doing that. I'm just suggesting that maybe this is a little too deep.
Maybe not. You know, I get emails from folks from when I do my show, and they're very intelligent. Very, very intelligent.
Oh, well, that's because we prevent people who are not intelligent from listening to the station, and you know that.
But
it still might be too – just because a person is intelligent, they might not be super intelligent, and they might not be able to fathom what you're talking – when you go into this kind of –
the correspondences
talk.
That I get.
And
I
now all of a sudden we have jammed phone lines. That's
the
very,
correspondences
very
that I get, and I didn't mean they're intelligent correspondences. I mean, and they are intelligent. There are intelligent responses to what I'm talking about on the air. So I know they're getting it. At least people who are emailing me are getting it.
Right.
So I suspect that there is a core of people that needs – like, I love listening to information like this. If I was turning the knob and I heard a guy like me talking, of course, it was me, but if I heard a guy like me talking, I'd be riveted. I think this is very important, fascinating information.
Okay, let's see what Roger in Santa Cruz thinks. Roger, what do you think?
Hi, guys. This is Roger. Ben, this is Roger. We've shared emails about Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, hey. How's it going, Roger?
Really well, really well. I just wanted to tell you, basically, I'm an idiot, and I get what you're saying. I mean, I didn't get out
you are not an idiot, or you would not be permitted to listen to KSCO.
Well, I didn't get out of the eighth grade, so
okay.
But my educational came later in life. But I love the topics, and I'm so looking forward to seeing you in person. And I'm,
oh, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
I love Friday afternoons.
Thank you.
Roger's talking about the bright side, which Pharmacist Ben does live on KSCO Friday afternoons from 2 to 4 p.m.
Correct.
Thank you.
Correct.
I
wish you would talk more about the singularity and stuff like that. I think that's just a wonderful topic.
Oh, good. Isn't it exciting? Thank you.
It is. It's so, I'm thrilled. To think about that, it gives me chills just thinking about it right now.
I totally agree.
On a sweater.
Thank you, Roger. I appreciate that.
Okay, Roger. Here's Sue in Aroma. Sue, you're on with Pharmacist Ben.
Yes, good morning.
Hey.
Thank you. I appreciate where you're coming from. And also, one question quickly. I need to know information to get reservations for his speak and Aptos.
You want to call 429-2222 and leave a voicemail. Ben will probably call you back personally, Ben?
429-2222.
That's it.
Okay.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you so much.
Okay, and in regard to the subject matter that you're on, that is awakening, and people are waking up. It's like sunshine, and it's a deep breath, and it's like meditation, and all the other aspects and aspirations that you are influenced.
We should call Ben the wake-up man, because he wakes up people about spirituality. He wakes up people about health.
Arise and shine is the dark.
Wake up, people. Yes. Thank you so much, Sue. We're in a dream. We're sleeping. Wake up. It's like when my child was sleeping, I would gently nudge her and tell her to wake up. Thank you, Sue. That's very sweet of you.
Well, you take care of yourself. You've helped me more than I can thank you for.
Oh, God bless you. I'm looking forward to seeing you.
All right.
479-1080 in area 831 if you want to call us right now. There are some lines open. Here's John in Salinas. John, you're on with Ben.
Hey, John. Hi, Pharmacist Ben. I just started on my Saturday drive, and I turned on 1080 about 3 minutes ago, and I was just absolutely fascinated about the theory of quantum mechanics and about the fact that it is we who attach meaning to what is otherwise nothingness. And where can one read and find out more about this?
About the link between the two. There's this wonderful, wonderful book. There's a great book by Michael Talbot called Beyond the Quantum. He also wrote another one called The Holographic Universe, which is tremendous. Both of those books are great, but Beyond the Quantum dives more into quantum. If you're more philosophical, there's a really cool book by Werner Heisenberg, who's one of the fathers of uncertainty principle, actually. He developed this thing called uncertainty principle, which you may have heard of, and he wrote a book called Physics and Philosophy, which is super cool. Norman Friedman has a book called The Hidden Domain. I mean, there's a lot of them. Go to your Barnes & Noble, or there's a great bookstore in Santa Cruz. I forgot the name of it, but I'm sure you know what it is. And go to the science section. You could pull out all kinds of stuff. There's a Perceiving Ordinary Magic, Science and Intuitive Wisdom. I've got zillions of these books. My paper is filled with them. The Quantum Mind and Healing by Arthur Mindell. There's tons of them. Just go kind of peruse through the science section or even the New Age or philosophy section sometimes, and that's what I do, and see what jumps out at you.
Well, I guess I have my work cut out for me for the next 10 years.
If you like to read, there's tons of great stuff on quantum and spirituality and quantum and reality,
man.
Quantum and life.
I wish I liked to read, but reading is painful for me. I don't think I'm dyslexic. Maybe I am.
You can get paid.
I can listen to that. Just about everything is available on audiobooks now, huh?
Yeah. Do you ever hear of audible.com?
No.
Audible.com is like it's a website, and you can just sign up for $7 a month or $8 a month. Actually, I think it went up a little bit now, but it's a phenomenal price. And you can get books downloaded to you for $15. You can get a whole book downloaded right onto your iPod, and you can just listen to it or download it onto your computer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's good.
Cool.
All righty. Thanks, John and Salinas. That's about it for callers, unless anybody else wants to call.
The most important thing that quantum teaches us is that things aren't as they seem and that there is an unseen world. And don't be fooled by appearances. We should not be fooled by appearances. And it's always been said that you can't read a book, you can't tell a book by its cover. It's much the same way. Do not be deceived by appearances. Learn to be comfortable with the unseen world. Learn to be comfortable with the invisible world, the spiritual world, whatever moniker you want to label it with. Be comfortable with what you can't see. Know that there are all kinds of energies around us. There's TV waves and radio waves and all over us. We're in a field of neutrinos that exploded from a supernova billions of light years away.
Neutrinos? What's a neutrino?
A neutrino is this particle, it's like a small subatomic particle that fills the universe, and it's so tiny it flows right through you. The whole planet is a field of these things. And so we're swimming in these unseen energies, MZ. I mean, it's an amazing idea. There's so much abundance and energy all around us. So when I hear these people naysaying, as Spiro Agnew said, that these negative how do you say it? Remember Spiro Agnew?
Nattering nabobs of negativity. Ben, stay on. There are a couple of there's Patricia and Capitola and Sue and Aromas who want to talk to you. But we do have a commercial break, so if you can stay with us for a few minutes, that'd be great. Nikki, take it away. Thank you
Ben
for letting
Lohman
me
Market,
know.
Scotts Valley Market, low price, great savings, quality and service that doesn't always cost you more.
Hi, I'm Andy, the produce manager at Ben Lohman Market. This week in produce, we are featuring sweet California white peaches, 99 cents a pound. Large sweet pineapples from Costa Rica or Mexico, 2 for $5. Large sweet cantaloupes from Guatemala, 2 for $4. In organics, we have large Tommy Atkin mangoes from Mexico, $1.29 each. And California 1-pound clamshell strawberries for $2.89 each. Our local grower of cluster tomatoes, heirloom tomatoes, and Mama Tara tomatoes has started up. These beauties are delivered to our stores the day they are picked. So come and enjoy this week's produce features at Ben Lohman Market and Scotts Valley Market.
Compare and save. Be sure to check their weekly price comparison sheet. You don't always have to pay more for better service and quality. Please visit them at mylocalgrocer.com.
If you could create the perfect job, what would it be? Professional fly fisherman, cheese taster, maybe travel guide, mountain climber? Well, it just may be that the perfect job already exists, working right here at your local John Deere dealer. Think about it. You get to spend your whole day driving around on all our John Deere machines, like our Select Series lawn tractors, Easy Track mowers, compact utility tractors, and Gator utility vehicles, not to mention playing with our full line of John Deere attachments. And then you get to offer unbeatable financing and savings up to $400. In fact, the only thing we can think of that would be better than working at a John Deere dealership would be shopping at one. So come visit Pringle Tractor, your local John Deere dealer today, and let's make this deer season even better than the last one. Pringle Tractor in Watsonville and Salinas, or online at PringleTractor.com.
When I say Assemblymember Anna Caballero, what do you say? Well, I say strong. I think she's been a strong advocate for us during some of the worst economic times any of us have faced. And she's been a strong and tireless leader to protect funding for our schools. She even made sure local schools would be paid back for recent budget cuts. Boy, Anna Caballero put people together who never talked to each other and kept them talking till they finally had a water deal. Now that's strong.
What about you? When I say Anna Caballero, what do you think of?
I guess determined. She's determined to bring jobs to our communities and make sure there's training to go with them. She's working hard right now to make that happen.
What about you?
I'd say Anna Caballero's independent. You know, she's not afraid to speak her mind. She gets things done that way. I like that.
Vote for Anna Caballero for State Senate. Strong, determined, independent. Paid for by Anna Caballero for Senate 2010.
Your electrical problem is no problem when you call Direct Electric. Hello, I'm Priscilla Christie of Direct Electric.
And I'm Dave Christie. Whether your problem is a light switch, breaker box, meter main, or anything in between, Direct Electric technicians will fix it right the first time for the right price. And here's the best part. Direct Electric will not bill you for a service call.
I don't think they heard you, Dave. You better tell them again.
Okay. Direct Electric will not charge you for a service call.
And if you have an electrical emergency, call Direct Electric at 425-1407. I'll rouse Dave and he'll come running.
Priscilla is right. If you have a real electrical emergency, the kind that just can't wait till morning, call Direct Electric and we will come running.
Remember, your electrical problem is no problem when you call Direct Electric. I will take your call.
And I will make certain that your problem gets fixed. Call Direct Electric and ask for your Think Local First discount of $25. 425-1407.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Just a poor boy, though my story is seldom told. I squandered my resistance for a pocket full of mumbles, such are promises.
We weren't having such a nice, spirited discussion with Pharmacist Ben and the callers. I would have you leave that favorite Simon and Garfunkel song on for the rest of the program. I'll leave it on anyhow. Nah, we better go back to this. All right. Thanks, Nikki. Your selections are great always. Okay, Pharmacist Ben, you're back?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Here's Patricia in Capitola. Thanks for waiting, Patricia. You're on the air with Pharmacist Ben.
Thank you. Mr. Michael, I want to say thank you for getting Pharmacist Ben on the radio on Fridays.
We've been after him for years, and he finally agreed.
And
finally.
You're bringing him to town is fabulous, and I love this kind of conversation. And yes, he does talk, then you sometimes do talk a little quickly, but I wouldn't lose that if that meant losing your passion and your intelligence and everything. I just love it. And Michael, I have to go on and say Saturday is the time when I listen most to KSEO. I love the guys from New York starting at 5 in the morning.
Oh, yeah, Bernie and the Wellness Hour with Bernie and friends. Not too many people hear that because not that many people are up, particularly on the weekend that early. But, yeah, we got to stick that on the podcast section of KSCO.com.
They're just so there's something so real about them.
Yeah.
And Michael Olson is one of your unsung treasures, and that is a show that you should think about syndicating.
I got news for you. It's been syndicated for years. It's on a number of other stations. It has been.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
great.
So thanks, Patricia, but we're way ahead of you, at least with that one.
One request to you, Michael. Please stop asking for us to call in. There are many people like myself who are lurkers, and we either cannot come call in. It's not a statement that nobody's listening, that nobody calls in.
I do take it personal, and that is, it's an ego problem that I must have. And maybe we'll have a whole program or a whole series of program about egos, and mine in particular, because I really, and people have told me this before, you're not the only one. But see, I'm not like Ben Fuchs. Ben, or Doc Wallach, for that matter, or there are other people on the station who you could just open the mic, and if there are no callers at all, they could be talking for 75 days, you know, nonstop, and they never run out because they got so much in their brain. I'm pretty much an airhead by comparison, and if I haven't prepared for a show, which is hardly ever, I just like to show up and do the show.
And 90%.
Then I feel nervous about doing a tap dance, and so when I don't see many callers, I figure, hey, that means I'm not doing a very good job, winging it or whatever.
Incorrect, from my perspective.
Oh, good.
So much appreciation to you and your mother and all that you do. I don't always agree with all the editorials.
What?
The level of positivity that's now coming out on more and more of your shows is so great and is going to help change our world. Thank you.
Nice. Thank you
very much, Patricia.
That was awesome. That's a great call.
In
you know, Michael, that's a classic. What you're saying was a classic example of what I was talking about earlier, how we make things mean things. We create meaning. So nobody calls and you immediately create a meaning, but you're creating that meaning. You can make it mean anything you want. You can make it mean that they're so riveted by what you're saying, they're not calling it. If you decided to make that, choose that meaning.
That's what it means when you're on the air, for sure. I'd like to think that that's what it means when I'm on the air, but I doubt it. But that's okay, whatever.
You have the option of choosing what things mean.
Yeah, Sue and Aromas, you're on the air with Pharmacist Ben and MZ.
You are the reason I called.
Who, me?
Yes.
Oh.
Because I felt that space and that freedom in the air. Space on the radio.
I'm not sure I'm following you. What'd you say?
Well, there's a suggestion out there that perhaps you feel needed to have people call.
I just use callers, the number of phone calls, and particularly from new people. There are lots of KSCO. I don't mean this to sound pejorative, and I know it's going to. I don't mean there are a lot of KSCO caller addicts who will call any show.
Well,
and I love
important.
Them and I appreciate them, but if that's all I can get as a host, then that means to me I'm not doing a good job. And that's just the way it is. I mean, that's just the way I feel.
Yeah.
It's all about feelings, you know. I've been told that I've been called a closet liberal by David Corsi. You know, and liberals have feelings. Liberals have feelings, and I have feelings.
Yeah.
So maybe I am a closet liberal.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because look what you're doing today.
Yeah.
I just wanted to thank you again and just pick up on where the lady that just called and where she left off and just project the same feelings that I'm having.
Are you going to come and visit, see Pharmacist Ben speak?
Yes, I am, and I'm bringing friends.
Oh, nice. Fantastic. Everybody bring friends. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a small community.
But Bernie's listening. Bernie Owens and friends is calling now. That's pretty
funny. You throw it out there, it's going to come right back at you, and positive energy is what we need.
Okay, Aroma Sue, thank you very much
for
calling. I couldn't agree more. I'm tired of all this negative crap, you know. And so Dave Allen, you know, he figured that out years ago, you know. And there's still too much negative crap on KSCO, but it's the world that we are supposed to reflect, right, Bernie Owens and friends?
Hi, Michael.
How are you?
We love you, Michael. If we don't call, don't worry. We still listen.
Okay, good.
Hi, Pharmacist Ben. How are you?
Hey, Bernie. Nice to hear from you. Nice to hear your voice.
Yes, and I've been advertising you on my Saturday
Appreciate
show
that.
Out there.
Is anybody from Aaron, New York, going to jump on a plane and come out here, Bernie?
I don't think
It would
so
be
much.
Worth it. I'm telling you, he's that good. He really is.
Mike, I know Pharmacist Ben is well worth listening to. And everyone in the KSCO land had better be there. It better be a standing room only crowd.
Thank you, Bernie. I appreciate that. Thank you.
But it's true. It and is. That's the reason I'm calling, to tell everybody how much I appreciate you when you're on the air for Dr. Wallach and when I listen to you on Fridays.
Thanks.
Bernie, hope you'll be heading out this way one of these days.
One of these days I'm going to surprise you and knock on your door, Michael.
Great, and bring John with you, your son. He's fantastic.
Yeah, everybody, you know, Mike, we've been getting, I know I wouldn't get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to listen to me, but you'd be surprised how many people in California are calling our show.
Well, like I told, I wouldn't be surprised because I know what you're telling me is true, but what I would also, I've been telling you for years, I wish your show was on later, because if it's later for you, people aren't going to stop listening there, but more people will definitely listen here if it's on later.
Michael, I just might make that happen one of these days.
That'd be great.
Talk turkey to my station. How's that?
That'd be great, Bernie.
Yep. Okay. Hey, Pharmacist Ben, have a wonderful conference
you,
out there, and I wish I was there to listen also.
Thank you for the support.
Yep.
Thanks,
hey,
Bernie.
Have
take
a good
care.
Day, guys.
Appreciate
I
the
really
got to
go.
Okay, here's Scott in Scotts Valley. Scott is the person that Scotts Valley is named after.
That's right.
Yeah.
My valley.
Uh-huh.
What's up? a wonderful show, as always. And just to kind of expound on a previous caller, it's all going to work out. It's all good.
Yeah, it's all good. I agree.
It's the things that try to focus, keep you on a negative mindset. I think Henry Ford said it best. Whether you think you can or you can't, you're right.
Yeah. That's right.
You're going to have an awesome show if you think you're going to have an awesome show. You're going to have a crappy show if you think you're going to have a crappy show. You're going to be healthy if you think you're healthy. You're going to be happy if you think you're happy. All of reality is based on thought.
Hey,
so,
wait a minute. Think positive thoughts. Okay, that's clearly a good positive thing. How about this? Don't think negative thoughts.
Exactly.
Well, wait a minute. Isn't that negative itself?
That's not the same thing. No, your brain hears negative thoughts. Your brain hears those two words, negative thought.
Yeah.
No, you can't do it.
So don't say it that way. I see. I'm beginning to understand, right?
It's a positive
I'm stupid, but I'm not that stupid.
I think you're pulling our leg here, MZ.
Yeah, well, whatever. Scott, thank you very much. Hey, Nikki, I understand you found that promo for Dave Allen's show with Ben tomorrow. Okay, let's play that, okay? And stay, and then we've got Annalise, and then we're done. So stand by here.
Okay. Dave Allen here, and let me remind all we listeners of KSEO what's happening Sundays at 4. That's right, all the KSEO listeners are invited this Sunday at 4 p.m., May 23rd, to join me and PB. Who's PB? Pharmacist Ben. No, we're not going to talk about your tick, whatever ails thee. We're going to talk about deeper things, positive things, quantum physics, spirituality. Special show, don't you know, right here, May 23rd at 1080 a.m. KSEO. This Sunday, 4 p.m., when Pharmacist Ben, otherwise known as PB, joins me. 4 o'clock Sunday, May 23rd, for more positive radio. Don't miss it.
Down with negative radio. Down with all negative radio, right? No more negative radio. Am I right there, Pharmacist Ben? Here, I can bring him back on here. Am I right?
Yeah.
Am I right?
I hate negative radio.
Now, that's a negative. Now, that's a negative statement right there.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. All right, here comes Annalise to fill out the program here. Annalise, we only got a minute, so go ahead.
I just wanted to say that while you think people may be calling repeatedly because they're phone junkies, I think that's what
caller junkies. And I say that admiringly. Not.
But it may be that you just put on so many interesting programs that they have thoughts or definite things they could add to that program, that you touch on a lot of people's interests and people who are both intelligent with a wide sphere of interest. And I certainly appreciate Ben Fuchs. I've been listening to him ever since I first heard of him, and I'm going to his conference. By the way,
did you hear that, Ben? You get to meet Annalise and see what she looks like.
I'm looking forward to it.
Actually, you had asked me about that before, Ben. But, yes, I am looking forward to meeting him and to hearing also, this is a skincare program, is it not, or is it on quantum physics?
The show tomorrow or the talk then?
The one when you come into conference.
Oh, no,
on
no, no. That's on, that'll be on nutrition and the skin. Nutrition,
okay.
And then we're going to focus on the skin.
But yeah, the one where you're talking on quantum physics,
that's
is
tomorrow.
That tomorrow?
That's tomorrow at 4 p.m. with Dave.
Okay, and what about the 23rd?
That is the 23rd.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, hey, listen,
right,
you guys, we're all done. Annalise, thank you.
Thanks,
Ben,
Annalise.
Thanks for calling and rescuing
thanks,
me from radio oblivion because I was ready to go poof, you know.
Yeah, you
don't
were,
do that.
And then you called. All right, it's KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. That's all, folks. And, yeah, we'll finish up here. Thank you.
That's all, folks. Insurgents appear to be active in Afghanistan. A NATO spokeswoman says the main military base in southern Afghanistan was under attack by rocket fire, followed by a ground assault. This is the third attack on NATO's operations in the last 6 days. Kandahar airfield is the spot where thousands of troops are preparing for a surge against the Taliban. President Obama addressing West Point's graduating class of 2010.
To the United States Corps cadets, and most of all, the class of 2010. It is a singular honor to serve as your commander-in-chief.
There are approximately 1,000 graduates in this year's class. Almost all of them will become Army second lieutenants, eventually serving in Iraq or Afghanistan. The president said the military is the cornerstone of national defense, but the rest of the country has to pitch in. Just a handful of people escaping death when an Air India jetliner filled with people overshot the runway in the southern part of India, killing more than 160 people.
There are some survivors who've been talking to the local Indian press from hospital. One guy I heard said that he'd seen on landing that the plane had broken into two, and he jumped out of the plane as quickly as he could as soon as it crashed, and he saw a couple of other people doing the same.
An Indian aviation official says the conversations between the pilot and air control appear to show everything was on track for an uneventful landing before the crash, which happened in the Indian city of Mangalore. The plane skipped the runway, slid over a cliff, and then burst into flames. That information from Neenan Ridge, who we just heard from in this story. One survivor says everything seemed fine as the plane first came down, then the aircraft started to shake before splitting in two. A 13-year-old boy is the youngest person to scale Mount Everest. He's California's Jordan Romero. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
They've taken your money. Now Fox Business Network is taking them to task. Every weeknight at 7 p.m. Eastern, David Asman hosts a special series on America's Nightly Scoreboard. Tune in for exclusive reports and hard-hitting investigations that challenge Washington and expose the latest corporate corruption. You will not want to miss this nightly show when David and his team of expert reporters keep score on the issues that affect your future. Bottom line, you have questions and only one show keeps fighting for you to get the answers. America's Nightly Scoreboard with David Asman. Only on the Fox Business Network.
Do you believe in the freedom of the press, thought, speech, and worship? If your answer is yes, join the online community where you can finally be heard, thefoxnation.com. Fox Nation allows you to be a part of the tradition that has made America great. It's time to say no to biased media and yes to fair play and free speech. Be a part of the real news of America and join the online community that believes in the right to express your views, values, and voice. Join thefoxnation.com now.
There's been a couple of earthquakes south of the border. They were felt in San Diego this afternoon. The U.S. Geological Survey says the earth started moving around 10:30 this morning, all the rattlers being fairly moderate in magnitude. President Obama talked about the crisis in the Gulf in his weekly address, saying an oil spill like this must never happen again.
If the laws on our books are inadequate to prevent such an oil spill, or if we didn't enforce those laws, I want to know it. I want to know what worked and what didn't work in our response to the disaster.
Republicans in their weekly response says the disaster mustn't keep America from offshore drilling.
Ending all domestic energy production offshore would only make us that much more dependent. And this false choice on how to proceed in the future of energy exploration in the wake of a terrible accident contributes little to the debate.
Louisiana Representative David Vitter speaking for the GOP this week. It has taken decades, but at last a city says, welcome home, soldier.
A motorcycle honor ride with bikes as far as the eye can see streamed into Green Bay, escorted by state police. And along the streets, Americans stood holding flags and waving, welcoming home Vietnam vets decades after the war ended.
Well, brings tears to my eyes, actually.
Maury Hamill says he was treated like garbage for serving his country and says this weekend's LZ Lambeau Welcome Home isn't about war. It's about honoring those who served.
They didn't get that respect that they deserve, so this is great that they finally get it.
Almost 40 years later, in Green Bay, Wisconsin, Jeff Madosso, Fox News Radio.
Now this is dedication to the job. David Borshowitz is a detective in Nevada. He serves as a spokesman for the county sheriff. He was arrested this week, accused of burglary and assault. Here's the thing. He wrote and sent out a press release about his own arrest. He says that's his job. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here for the weekend. Today we got mostly sunny, high of 64, northwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy skies with a low of 43, the northwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Sunday, mostly sunny, high of 63, northwest winds 15 to 25 miles per hour. And out there on the Monterey Bay, the northwest winds 5 to 15 knots, becoming west 15 to 25 knots in the afternoon. Wind waves 3 to 5 feet, northwest swell 5 to 7 feet at 10 seconds, and south 4 feet at 20 seconds. Tonight out there, the northwest winds 15 to 25 knots, wind waves 3 to 5 feet, mixed swell, northwest 5 to 7 feet at 10 seconds, and south 3 to 4 feet at 19 seconds. And for your KSCO King of the Hill traffic update, I don't have anything to report at the moment. If you see something out there, 475-1080, let me know, and I'll let all your fellow drivers know as well. Current temperatures, it's 55 degrees in Monterey, 57 in Salinas, and in Watsonville, it's 59. We're at 65 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. The official time, 12:06 and 28 seconds on this Saturday, May 22nd, 2010. Up next, we have Perspective. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
Good afternoon. You've tuned in to the Perspectives Radio Show. My name is Donald Davidson. I'll be your co-host today. Joining me in the studio to host the show is Tom Quinn and our very special guests today, architect Cove Britton. His website is votecove.com, and Ellie Black, local business owner, and her website is backintheblack2010.com. Thanks for joining us today.